On July 4, 2003, almost 8 years ago to the day, we passed Resolution 2003-5 regarding the danger posed by silent hybrid vehicles. The following year, Dr. Maurer created the Committee on Automobile and Pedestrian Safety to explore the quiet car issue. On February 20, 2008, Dr. Maurer spoke to the Working Party on Noise in Geneva, Switzerland. This group reports to the World Forum for Harmonization of Vehicle Regulations, which in turn is part of the Economic Commission for Europe. On April 9, 2008, the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act of 2008, H.R. 5734, was introduced by Congressman Ed Towns and Cliff Stearns in the 110th Congress second session. Many people underestimated us. They said that we would not be able to convince car companies, the Department of Transportation, the United States Congress, and the American public that these cars posed a danger to all pedestrians, especially blind pedestrians. But did the National Federation of the Blind give up?
No.
We ended the second session with 88 co-sponsors. We kept advocating. And on January 28, 2009, Ed Towns and Cliff Stearns reintroduced the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, H.R. 734. And on April 21, 2009, Senators John Kerry and Arlen Specter introduced a companion Senate bill, S 841. We kept advocating. And at the end of the first session of the 111th Congress, the bills had 171 co-sponsors in the House and 18 in the Senate. We kept advocating. And on September 23, 2009, The Washington Post ran a front-page story regarding the work being done in this area. We kept advocating. And on May 18, 2010, after weeks of intense negotiations, we obtained the endorsement of the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers and the Association of International Automobile Manufacturers on a revised version of the bill. We kept advocating. And on December 9, 2010, the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation sent S 841 to the Senate floor for a unanimous consent vote. That day, it was passed by the Senate and sent to the House. We kept advocating. And on December 18, 2010, the House voted on S 841 and passed it 379-30. We kept advocating. And on January 4, 2010, the President of the United States signed the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act into law. Now, there is much work left to be done. The Department of Transportation must determine just how much sound a vehicle needs to make to be safe. The department must also determine the characteristics of the sound. We are honored to have the administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration here to speak to us today. David Strickland was sworn in on January 4, 2010. Prior to his appointment, he served for eight years as staff to the U.S. Committee, United States Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. As the senior counsel for the Consumer Protection Subcommittee, he was responsible for oversight of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission. He is dedicated to the implementation of measures improving the safety of all roads, and especially to the implementation of the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act. Fellow Federationists, please welcome the United States Department of Transportation Administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, David Strickland.
Good morning, NFB.
Good morning.
Dr. Maurer, John, thank you so much for your leadership and your kind invitation to have me here. I know that we have come a long way together on this issue of not making pedestrianism and individual mobility better for the blind, but basically making pedestrianism safer and better for every person in America. And it's all because of you and your leadership. I want to take a moment to come off of my prepared remarks and sort of talk about bravery in leadership and tenacity. Things like this, the Pedestrian Enhancement Safety Act, they don't happen very often. In the world of vehicle regulation, to have a single standalone rule to apply to every car made in America, it's usually tied to a much bigger initiative that usually has funding for highways or something of a larger scope. But to be able to build a case, as John said, in terms of what all of you recognized as an early and significant risk, to build your case, not only with the stakeholders and manufacturers and other folks, but to make your case to the Congress and to make your case to the Department of Transportation, it really is breathtaking. I can really think of, there's only one other instance that I can think of, probably in the past 30, 40 years, where you saw a piece of legislation succeed like this, which is also another pedestrian safety issue. It's on rearward visibility or backover to help people see behind them so they don't run over their toddlers. And this piece of legislation and this rule is of the same magnitude and scale. And it would not have happened without the leadership of NFB and the leadership of all of you. So please, thank you so much for staying with us and getting this thing done. I have the distinct honor to actually working on this piece of, on this policy issue in two places. I started, as John said, as working for the United States Senate Commerce Committee, which worked on Senator Kerry's legislation. And I remember when John visited me for the first time explaining this issue. And I admit I am a hybrid vehicle owner. But I've always known, you know, from my responsibility being a driver, that I have to be more careful. Because basically people could not hear me when I was at slow speeds in parking lots. So I had to drive not only for myself, but for every pedestrian around me. Now, being a person that worked in transportation safety, you know, that probably makes me probably a little more careful than most. But you have to recognize that there is a risk out there. And so when John and the representatives that came along with NFB talked about this risk, I said to John, you have to build a case. If you build a case, you're going to get support, you're going to get the leadership, you're going to get member buy-in, and you're going to get it done. And you know something? I give that advice to a whole lot of people. But frankly, NFB is one of the few and the proud to actually make that happen. So here we are. Now, as a former staffer that helped on the legislation and supported you in this effort, now I've been blessed with the opportunity to implement this rule, make this a federal motor vehicle safety standard for every vehicle in the United States. So I have the honor and the pleasure to see it at its beginning, and now to hope to shepherd it to its conclusion. So it's a really special honor for myself, for the Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood, and the entire team at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to be here today. Now, in addition to thanking all of you for your hard work and your effort and your leadership and your tenacity, I actually have an announcement to make today. We've had a number of folks, a number of meetings, I know that my Deputy Administrator, Ron Medford, presented to all of you about the work that's been going on since 2008. Whether it's the public hearing, whether it's the outreach of the stakeholders, Society of Automotive Engineers, all the automakers, you know, our study which showed that there was increased risk with silent and hybrid vehicles to pedestrians, period. Whether you're blind, whether you're sighted, whether you're young, whether you're old. All of that work led up to the passage of the act. And luckily, because my agency, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, has already well underway to take action on its own, we had the background research done. And so when the act passed, we were well ahead of the game, which is a really good piece of news. But today, I want to announce our first official milestone in making this rule a reality. Today, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration sent to the Federal Register the scoping notice for the environmental impact of adding sound to vehicles. It is a 30-day public notice for comment, but it is the first step on the road. The second step, a year from now, will be the proposal for the rule, and in 2014, we'll be issuing the final rule. It will come to reality. We will add the right sound to every silent vehicle produced in the United States to make not only everybody and all of your family safer, but frankly, taking what we learned in the United States, going to WP29 and working with the international community, and taking leadership to add sound to silent vehicles around the planet. That's where we want to be. And frankly, this vision, this hope, and this dream, this effort, this progress would not have happened if it wasn't for that brave step back in 2003. So, NFB, thank you for not only making every pedestrian in America safer, but building the foundation for making every pedestrian around the planet safer. Thank you so much, and God bless all of you.
Thank you, Administrator, and that is fantastic news. We are on schedule then to keep moving forward to get this rule implemented, and it is in a large part due to the hard work of David Strickland. Thank you again. Our next panelist, now we're going to hear from two different car companies, first GM and then Toyota. First, we want to hear from Doug Moore. Mr. Moore is responsible for vehicle noise regulatory compliance at General Motors and is a recognized expert on vehicle sound. He is the chairman of the ISO Standards Committee responsible for international standards for exterior noise test procedures. He is also the chairman of the SAE Task Force on Minimum Vehicle Sound. He serves as a technical expert to the United Nations Economic Commission for Europe. Mr. Moore visited the National Federation of the Blind to find out what it'd be like to walk around with a long white cane. He was blindfolded and walked around the streets of Baltimore with Ron Brown as his instructor. As each car passed by, he not only noticed the sound, I remember he would tell Ron, "Oh, that was a 2005 Chevy Camaro." Or maybe I think that car over there, that's a 2009 Cadillac Escalade. Mr. Moore is absolutely expert on sound. Please welcome from General Motors, Mr. Doug Moore.
Thank you, and good morning, delegates, officers, and guests of this convention. As I said, I'm Doug Moore, and I'd like to thank President Maurer and the organizing committee for this kind invitation to speak to you on behalf of GM. GM and NFB have cooperated on this issue for almost 3 years, and GM appreciates the commitment to NFB on this issue, not only in the U.S., but also internationally. I want to speak to you about what GM's history has been on this subject, what we're doing now, and most importantly, what we plan to do in the future. I do hope you plan to do some work today, as I have some sounds for you to hear. So, with that, GM has recognized this issue of pedestrian interaction with advanced propulsion vehicles for almost 20 years since the development of our first electric vehicle, the EV1, in the 1990s. Even at that time, GM realized this vehicle needed new ways to alert and interact with pedestrians. Therefore, the EV1 was equipped with a feature to allow the driver to acoustically communicate with pedestrians. The Chevrolet Volt, which is you can now buy, has built on this experience and includes an acoustic pedestrian alert feature as the EV1 before. This feature is standard equipment on every Chevrolet Volt GM will build. Thank you. GM is built on the successful collaboration with the NFB to help contribute to the development of our second generation pedestrian alert feature. This feature will be an automatic system which will fulfill the expected regulatory criteria in the US, Japan, and in Europe. Next, I'd like to talk about what GM is doing today. The first question people usually ask me is, what should it sound like? Well, from the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, we know it needs to meet some following criteria. It needs to tell people a vehicle's presence, location and direction, and operation. Well, since I'm an engineer, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about engineering. GM's work on this has led us to sort of learn the following things. When the vehicle says, discern vehicle presence, what does that mean to us? It means I can detect the vehicle. I know something is there in an environment where I could usually hear an internal combustion vehicle today. The second is recognition, meaning the sound I hear, I associate with the vehicle. It's not a duck, it's not a mobile phone, and whatever else it might be. It's a vehicle. The second main criteria is I need to discern the vehicle location and its direction. Well, given I've already had detection and recognition satisfied, location and direction, a lot of it are provided naturally by the human auditory system. Why? You can turn your head to help you localize the sound, and your binaural hearing improves your ability to know where it is. Both of these things in combination really help you to figure out where is it. And then lastly, from this Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act, is discern vehicle operation. Operation, in my mind as an engineer, means is the vehicle moving? Is it speeding up? Is it slowing down? Movement can also naturally be detected by the human auditory system as the sound moves relative to the pedestrian. Information on whether the vehicle is speeding up or slowing down can also be provided by the sound changing in frequency or modulation as a function of speed. You know, think of this as what you recognize now when any machinery speeds up or slows down. You know this same characteristic from a motor vehicle. So, as I said, I need you to do some work. Well, let's do that. Audience, you are now part of our research. I want you to raise your hand if you think the sound I play would in any shape or form remind you of a motor vehicle. Mr. Sound Technician, cue up sound number one, please. Okay. Mr. Perret, I see one hand over there. You should take a note of that person. All right. Mr. Technician, sound number two, please. All right. All right. Anyone think that's a motor vehicle? A few more. Okay. Mr. Technician, sound number three. Okay, any hands there for that one? A few more yet, okay. Mr. Technician, sound number four. This is the last one, it's a little bit longer. Okay, how many thought that was a car? All right. Here's the interesting thing. Except for the first sound of Shemp back there, all three of those were the same sound. What's important here is listening to the sound in context. When you hear the sound only in isolation, as if you were in some laboratory, you really don't have the full information that all of you have when you're on the street and I experienced when I was in the O&M training in Baltimore. Therefore, it's really important that we make decisions about sound with the full vehicle sound is what we listen to. So you get there the full realistic information, because in a lot of cases, there's sound you get for free. It's not, doesn't have to be added. So let's talk about the future work. What have we at GM learned? What we've learned is discerning the vehicle presence requirement of the 2010 Safety Act can be established by having a lower vehicle emission that says all vehicles need to make some level of sound that's really comparable to what they make today. We can also add some corresponding frequency information that says, okay, about in this range is where we need to have this sound. We have the measurement tools available to determine this level and this frequency content. We have baseline data of existing vehicles to make sure that the sound emission and frequency content is set appropriately. We can further make sure that bystanders are not annoyed to set a corresponding maximum level. The last thing we want is for people to experience this and try and figure out how to cut the wires on their car. The next part is discerning the vehicle operations. We can include in the sound that has some frequency or modulation change as a function of vehicle speed. That's what you heard in there with the sounds going doop. You know, that lets you know what the vehicle's doing. This is the natural way that any vehicle sort of communicates with you now. GM, in cooperation with the NFB, has found this characteristic to be extremely valuable in providing information to pedestrian on what the vehicle is doing. So from this research GM has conducted with the help of NFB, we are confident that NHTSA will be able to bring forth a regulation that enhances motor vehicle and pedestrian safety while simultaneously respecting noise pollution and driver annoyance. So, thank you very much. And just last, I'd like to conclude. The bottom line is really, really think our research has shown that there's a wide range of sounds that can meet all the criteria and still be detected, recognized, and provide the information you have today. And even better, the sounds are similar to enough to what you have to not require extensive retraining for what you know is your O&M training. GM looks forward to bringing out our second generation systems to market. I'd like to just conclude by again thanking Dr. Maurer, or President Maurer, and the organizing committee for the kind invitation to speak with you today. I wish you a good day and a good convention. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. I'm doing a door prize. All right, no, we better keep moving. Hey, now there's a few people in the back probably. If you're talking in the back, if you can move either out of the hall or try to make sure the very back is quiet. We have some people back there who said they can't quite hear. All right, thank you. All right, our next panelist is Kevin Rowe from Toyota Motor North America. Mr. Rowe joined Toyota in 1997 as the company's liaison to the federal government on issues related to vehicle safety. He is now National Manager of Technical and Regulatory Affairs for Toyota Motor North America. Mr. Rowe recently demonstrated a Toyota Prius with sound for us at the National Center. Toyota was the first mainstream car that did not make enough sound, but they are now committed to having sound on future vehicles and are working closely with the National Federation of the Blind. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Kevin Rowe from Toyota Motor North America.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I thank Dr. Maurer for inviting us. Also, John Perret for all his cooperation over the last few years. And I don't debate anything that GM has said. In fact, you're going to find a lot of things I have to say are going to repeat. But I did want to let you know that I'm going to ad-lib a little bit here. I was here for the general session yesterday, and I was rather moved by the president's report. And I wanted you to hear a perspective from someone that sat on the other side of the table from the NFB. Your organization and your office up in Baltimore, the headquarters, both Dr. Maurer and John Perret and the rest of the team, they were very gracious. Our very first meeting, of all the 19 years I spent in D.C. working for automakers, meeting with lots of advocacy groups, they actually opened their doors invited us in, were very friendly, took the time to listen to us. We took the time to listen to them, had a lot of discussion about what our differences are. And as Doug experienced and several of us from the industry experienced, they took the time to have us experience kind of a half a day of what it's like to walk around Baltimore with a white cane and a mask over our eyes, to experience a little bit of what we have to listen to, what the characteristics of the traffic, exactly experience the issue for ourselves. And I want you to know that's the kind of advocacy group you have here that really tries to listen, tries to teach us. And I want you to know that they are probably the best group I've actually ever dealt with in my 19 years. So. And for today, what I was going to do was let you know what Toyota's been doing the last few years. We are the Prius was one of the first global hybrid vehicles in the market. We've sold more than 1 million worldwide now. And we took on this issue about 4 or 5 years ago to start trying to develop a solution to the issue. For many years, we spent a lot of time on pedestrian safety, working on crashworthiness so that our cars are a little more safer when they do hit pedestrians. Worked on systems where the cars will brake for pedestrians. And then we took on this issue about 5 years ago when we heard your concerns about situations for pedestrians not being able to hear our vehicles. So we started listening to different sounds. We created our own criteria. A lot of the things that GM's already talked about: detectability, recognition, environmental acceptance, to make sure the bystanders aren't going to reject the sound, that customers buying our cars aren't going to reject it and not want to buy our vehicles, thus go off and buy a vehicle that doesn't have the sound. We also wanted driver acceptance so that the drivers, as Doug mentioned, do not try to cut the wire. So with all these, we looked for key elements of sound that needs to be in the system so that it's detectable, recognizable, and acceptable. One of the challenges is that, you know, a lot of our sound engineers really work to reduce noise, deal with city ordinances, come up with characteristics for vehicles that sound a certain way for the marketability. This was a new challenge for them to try to increase the sound level in vehicles. The other challenge was that, you know, different age groups of people have different hearing capabilities. I was actually sat through a demo once where the speaker played different sounds and had each of us raise our hands if we could hear it. I was amazed. I'm 42 years old and I have the hearing of a 50-year-old. So I can't hear the sounds that I'm supposed to hear. I guess that's too much rock and roll at my younger years. So that was a challenge for us to consider. Fluctuation and periodic shifts. Fluctuation so that the person hearing doesn't get bored with the sound, doesn't tune it out. Also, we wanted to make sure that there's shifts so that you can recognize whether or not the vehicle is accelerating or decelerating or going at a constant speed. It gets louder as the vehicle speeds up. So we also did some focus group studies to try to understand what people can detect, both blind and sighted people. And I want to play some of these tracks for you. If we can play track 4, please. Okay. That was a melody we played, that and kind of like ice cream truck bells seemed to be the ones that people could identify the easiest and say they can hear that. Problem is, you don't feel that there's some type of any type of danger around. You just listen to it, hear it, identify it, done. Actually, that's also the sound I use for my cell phone alarm to wake me up every morning. So for some reason, that works for me. I can hear it. It wakes me up. Another sound kind of on the other end of that spectrum is track number 5, please. This is basically it's a mechanical sound. It might be something like the hum of a refrigerator or air conditioner. This is a sound that people said, well, you know, they can hear it, but over time they tend to tune it all out. And so this would be sounds that sighted people who are drivers actually like, because they said, you know, it doesn't really bother them, so they actually like that. But what we did was we took some of the information we got back, looked at high frequency, low frequency sounds, and created a synthesized sound that will both provide some sense of a mechanical sound, but it's synthesized, has low and high frequency. And this next track is going to be that sound that we've come up with designed to mimic a vehicle accelerating from about 0 up to 15 miles an hour. So track 6, please. So that's a synthesized sound we've come up with. We've actually had a booth here. We've been playing that sound. I think about 1,000 people have stopped by so far during this convention. We've probably had almost 999 people say that it was fine. I had one person that commented that they didn't like it. It's a little futuristic sounding for the Prius. And this sound is going to be on the Prius V, which is going to be introduced this fall as standard equipment. There'll be no on-off switch for the driver. And just so that you can hear the sound of the vehicle slowing down, I've also got track 7. So we've got the sound that can both tell you whether the vehicle is accelerating, decelerating. Again, if it's going at constant speed, it's at a constant hum. And we appreciate it. If you haven't stopped by our booth yet, please stop by. We've got copies of the CDs with the sound on it. We also have an email on there so that you could give us your comments or tell us what your thoughts are on the sound at our booth. We'd appreciate it. We're at B35. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to mention, since you've heard those sounds, I've spent quite a bit of time going into laboratories and listening with the headphones and different things and hearing the sounds, and then going outside in the parking lot where there's actually cars set up with the exact same synthetic sound. And Doug and Kevin could tell you more about this, but when you're outside and have all the rest of the sound associated with the vehicle, the sounds sound much more realistic. So while those probably sounded good in this room, they sound fantastic when you're out with the vehicle and you get the other environmental noises and it's more within context. All right, as you can tell, that our partnership with the Department of Transportation and specifically with David Strickland and with GM and with Toyota, things are going well. We are making a difference for blind people and for all pedestrians to be able to travel in this country, and really it's spreading now. There's going to be a global technical regulation that the Department of Transportation is working to make this something a standard throughout the entire world. It's something we can be very, very proud of.